Hello, friends. Welcome to Sunday morning. This is a big hello to everyone who's not running the London Marathon this morning. You're listening to Six Music. It's me, John Richardson. I am joined, as ever, by Touchy McToot.
John Robbins.
A.K.A. Touchy McToot is how you'll be known in my world. How are you, John?
I'm good. I'm quite tired, if I'm honest.
Truth be told, you've had a busy week.
Well, kind of, but you woke me. I slept in a tiny bit this
you
morning.
You did sleep
I?
In a tiny bit this
and
morning.
And you had to wake me up and you were grumpy for about 10 minutes after that.
Yeah, well, do you know why I was angry, John? It's because when we went to bed last night, in separate
hang
rooms,
on.
I said, we need to be out of the house by 10 to 7 in the morning, and you said, I've got to stop and get a coffee.
Yeah.
So we had a conversation where you said, well, I'm going to set my alarm for 6.30, and you were arrogant about the fact, and then at 6.45, no sign of you.
Well, I turned my alarm off and then went back to sleep because your futon mattress and cushions off your sofa are just so comfortable.
So, you've had a busy week, that's why you're tired. What have you been up to this week, John?
I've kind of had a week off and I've had big plans of things to do, but I've mainly spent the time playing an online world domination game.
Yeah, how's that been going?
Well, the world has been well and truly dominated. So, if you're walking around unhappy with public services, I'm to blame because I'm in control of you now.
You did have a sense of potency about you this morning that I was intimidated by. I thought, that is a man who owns Iran.
Mm.
And sure enough, that's you.
That is me.
So, busy week. Welcome to the show. We're going to have... Now, Russell texted me this morning. Morning, Russell Howard, a.k.a. Russell Howard, off of the Russell Howard show. He texted me this morning to say, I'm going to call, and we've called him, and his phone is now switched off. So I don't know if he's just teasing us with his life.
He's so rock and roll, he's left that very late.
He has left it very late. I've not heard from him all week, but then again, nor have any of his friends and family.
No.
But he's out there, so we're going to speak to him today. I'm for sure of it. If not, I'm just doing an impression of him for 10 minutes.
But the nice thing is, his family are actually, instead of trying to contact him, trying to contact him through the show.
Yeah, through me. I don't know, I don't know what his mum thinks. If he's not contacting her, why he would contact me. But we will have Russell Howard live on air. Failing that, we'll just phone his mum. We'll have a chat with his mum.
Chat with Ninette.
We'll have a chat with Ninette. We've got a special Am I Normal today. We're going to do Was I Normal? So you can text 64046 or email russell.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk with things you did when you were a kid that weren't normal, that freaked your parents out. We'll have a chat about that. Now we've snagged one. We've got one. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, there we are. It's a Russell Howard live on Six Music on the Russell Howard Show. How are you?
Very well, John. How are you?
Oh, is that a time delay or a pensive moment?
No. That might be, yeah, we might be on a sort of a time relay here. But
right.
I'm very well indeed.
Good.
What have you been up to?
Oh, don't get me started. I've had a power shower fitted at the spatula pad. I've done a lot of drinking. I've done some gardening. I've done some of the worst gigs of my life in the last few days. Canary Wharf in London and Sheffield, particular low points.
Canary Wharf, absolute shocker.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well, they've moved it, so it's even worse now. Anyway, What have you been doing?
Well, talking of gardens, right, I went to Ross Noble's ranch the other day. He's got many acres. Went canoeing there, brilliant fun. Went quad biking, wonderful.
I'm beginning to understand why we haven't spoken during the week. I wondered what it was.
I went on a dune buggy, right? I'm driving along on a dune buggy next to one of my heroes.
But it's April.
From nowhere. What's that again?
I said, but it's April.
Yeah, oh, exactly, John. But we're, like, properly hooning along like that from nowhere. Kangaroo leaps out, jumps in front of us. I swerve to miss it in his back garden. Kangaroos.
Well.
Wonderful fun. Slept out in a tent. Well, I say I slept out, I'll be honest. I got quite scared at about 12 and made my way inside.
I bet you did. I'm surprised you lasted till 12, to be honest, for a man who can't sleep indoors without being scared something's going to get him.
Well, listen to this. I saw a huntsman spider.
Oh, God.
They can kill you.
Well, no, that's what I thought, but I was told they couldn't. But, it was huge, and I thought, nah, I'm not having this. Plus, earlier on, I'd done their TV equivalent of Family Fortunes, and I wanted to watch myself on Sky Plus inside, so I did that instead, which isn't really sort of getting it. Isn't really getting to the whole kind of...
How were you on Family Fortunes when I know for a fact you haven't spoken to your family this week because they've been getting in contact with me? You know, in the week you've been gone, both your mum and sister have emailed me this week to say, you know, if Russell doesn't get in touch, we'll do the show instead. Your family are trying to usurp you from your own show, mate.
I know, it's amazing. My mum said that as well. She said, yeah, we just need a bit of Howard on there, a bit of Howard. I'll go on there. I'll have a little feature where I'll tell them about stuff we've been doing.
Right.
But I was on Family Fortunes with a man called Bert, who had very big hair.
Right.
It's been wonderful. It's been lots of fun. Anything else you want to know about Australia? I let myself down, right? There's a thing called the Rialto Tower. I don't know if anyone has ever been to Melbourne, but you have to do the kind of very touristy things, right? And it's the tallest point in Melbourne. And you're supposed to look at all the wonderful views of the city and that. But I'll be honest, Marek Larnwood was just in front of me on, like, a telescope, and his pants were just hanging out very, very gently. And I gave him a wedgie.
Of course you did. Of course that's you did. You're not a man to turn down the chance to wedgie another man.
A falling behaviour, though. You know, I should have been looking at the city.
Yeah, but the city's not going anywhere, whereas Marek's backside will move, and you'll have missed that opportunity. Yeah. Melbourne will always be there. You'll always fly out again and see it if you missed it the first time. But you'll never get the chance to wedgie a bald man.
It shouldn't be the highlight of your day, though, should it?
No, it shouldn't. And if it was yours, then that's definitely wrong. That's definitely wrong.
I need to achieve more than wedging. But what about you? What's happening in England? I hear it's really sunny. Is that right?
Oh, it's beautiful weather. It's beautiful weather. Heat stroke is happening. It's the London Marathon today. I did the first half on the way into the studio this morning, and I'm going to do the second half on the way back. I think that should do it. I'm not going to lie to you. Very little's happening in England. I'm still eating a lot of food. I cooked a lasagna this week that was so good that I felt lonely eating it because it felt selfish. It was amazing. I used a creamy mushroom sauce instead of a white sauce and then a cheese sauce on the top. It was unbelievable. Blew myself away, I did. And then I got so drunk that I watched Walk the Line. I got so drunk and watched Walk the Line and realised in the morning I couldn't remember a bit of it. But I know I'd watched it. It was about Johnny Cash.
Lovely.
I don't know if you've heard of him.
I've just written the words Johnny Cash in lasagna.
Oh. Are you? So you're doing your gig now?
I'm off to do my my gig, yeah.
And then are we talking to you after your gig as well?
Yeah, let's do this. I'll call you back afterwards, and yeah.
How are the gigs going?
Lots of fun. Great.
Are Australian people, do they laugh?
Again?
Do Australian people laugh out of their mouths, as per UK?
Yeah, no, it's nice, yeah. I got nominated for the Barry.
Right, well done. If this was a sort of BBC Radio 2 show, I'd probably have queued up a round of applause or something. But Right, and but only seven of them get nominated.
Nice. It's a showdown between me, Kitson and Clang. It's going to be lots of fun.
Right, well, all the best. Well, we'll talk to you after your gig. And who was that?
That was Keris in the background.
What did she say?
She says she's going to be a doctor.
Right.
So, yeah, she got into Warwick University to be a doctor.
Oh, well, it's just endless joy today. You've been nominated, Keris has got into Warwick University, and I've had a lasagna. So we're all achieving. Well, we're getting lots of emails in already about things you did when you were a kid. Was I normal? Keep those coming in. 64046 is the text. Russell.6music@bbc. I'm really tired. This sentence is too much for me. I've had a coffee, and it's really gone to my head.
Coffee and a Barocca?
Russell, I had a Barocca as well, yeah.
You can die from that.
Can you?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You'll step in, won't you, if I die?
Oh, pretty much.
Wow. Imagine that. People running 26 miles in searing heat today, and I died because I had a coffee and a Barocca. Russell.6music@bbc.co.uk. Now, we had an email in during the week that says, hey, John and John. His name's Touchy McToot, but I'll let that slide. I was wondering, as you've both lived together, it might be quite amusing. And that's always a bad sign when your audience is texting in things that might be quite amusing as an improvement to your show. Well, it might be mildly mirthful if you talked about something slightly different. It might be mildly amusing for your audience, but maybe embarrassing for you. If you would enlighten us with each other's bad habits, and that's from Claire, whose surname is Horner, which I thought you might like, John. So, bad habits, well, I'm fairly confident I could win this game.
Yeah. Well, I was quite excited when you got that email, because I thought, oh, that would be quite fun, we'll have a bit of banter, but then I realised your only annoying habit is remembering and eloquently describing other people's annoying habits.
Yeah, and shortcomings.
Yes.
Well, I've made a list of some of yours.
Well, yeah.
Sadly, they're not so nice.
Shall I start off first, are you? Because mine's not particularly annoying, so I'll start low and then you
the
bar.
We'll to and fro and we'll see who's still talking at the end.
This is so pathetic. You really insisted on wanting to use a wooden draining thing for washing up.
Yeah.
That was the first argument we had when we moved in, was a plastic drainer or a wooden drainer.
Your drainer was rank. It was covered in mould and slime.
That's not true. Because your wooden one had cracks in it, and that can fester unhealthy things in it.
All right, well, we'll do a washing up round. That'll be my one. My argument against your drainer was that you won't use it because you lick spoons and then put them back in the cutlery drawer as if clean.
That was just to annoy you.
Yeah. Well, you really succeeded there. Yeah. Well done. So that's what... Go on, you're next.
Yeah, I'm pretty much out.
Right, okay. Well, pretty I feel quite out. Bad for still having three sheets of A4. You came in frequently so drunk that you would just fall over in the living room, and I'm not going to use the word sing, you would just shout the words to music.
Well, there's a problem there, because what would happen is, that was when I was trying to stop smoking, and I would come back with my... I'd get annoyed at clubs because people would be smoking, and I'd be like, I'm going home. I'd put my iPod on, and I'd kind of make the mistake of thinking I was in the world of my iPod, and as was everyone else. So I'd end up walking down quite quiet, nice streets in Clifton, in Bristol, singing Astral Weeks at the top of my voice. And I actually once was so... felt so invincible, I walked in the middle of the road and a queue of taxis backed up behind me, but I didn't listen.
Yeah, no, and, of course you didn't.
Then just got back, and I remember, it was pitch black, and I just remember the light coming on and you standing over me and quite politely tapping me with your foot and just making the shush sign, and then I realised how...
Did I just make the shush sign? You're really lucky, because I remember that night, and I remember the things I was going to do, and it wasn't tap you on the shoulder. It was a full... But it was before one of the shows as well, so I was tie-tie. I needed to get my bobos.
I think I was singing Oh Cumley by Neutral Milk Hotel.
I can't remember. Which... I think you'll find you were just shouting drivel. So that's that one. You used all my expensive antibacterial wipes to clean your bedside cabinet so that I went to disinfect the kitchen. There were no wipes left because you disinfected where you just keep a toilet roll and a book.
It's a very exciting book.
You cut your toenails into a pint glass.
That is not fair. Right, well, then we get onto it. Now it starts.
Oh, yeah, remember the time I cut my toenails into a pint glass and then got angry when I threw it out and said there's nothing wrong with it?
I remember the time you punched a mirror.
I did punch a mirror.
You got so annoyed with his reflection. He was going through a phase of thinking he had a pointy face and coming back going, why don't girls like me? It's because I got a pointy face. I go to gigs and I tell them how much I hate the world, but they don't go out with me, and I got a pointy face. Then he goes upstairs, and the next thing you hear, crash, go up, and he's punched this full-length mirror, and then the next day, to cover it up, you put your relaxing poster of a raindrop over the thing. Because John likes to make his bedroom as tranquil as possible, so he's got relaxing posters of raindrops and waterfalls and things like
that. Nowadays, I've got nothing in my bedroom. That's a place of sleep, and I keep it uncluttered. All right, then. Well, I'll give you that one. You, once, when I went away to do some gigs for a weekend, I had a jar of pickled onions in the cupboard. There must have been 300 pickled onions in that jar, and you ate all but one of them. You ate 299 pickled onions, and then left one just so that maybe I'd think, well, probably I did eat all the pickles myself. Oh, unbelievable. And you're ridiculously proud of any bad smell you make
That's
around the house. Now, we're doing what's usually Am I Normal now, but this week a little bit of a rejig on it, a little bit of a sideswipe. We're doing Was I Normal, which is things you did when you were a kid that you thought were normal. This is based on... Now, you suggested this, John, because your Am I Normal this week was from your childhood.
It was,
so we
yes.
took it and ran with it, didn't we?
We did.
We didn't quite cover 26 miles, but if you're running the marathon, well done today. You're probably not listening, to be honest. If you're running the marathon, you're probably a bit tired and preoccupied. No one watches a marathon, do they? I was saying with this... You only watch a marathon to see your neighbour who's running the marathon, and then you see him and you turn it off, and that's... It's one of the most pointless TV things, with the exception of the boat race.
I don't think everyone who watches it sees their neighbour running.
Well, my neighbour Jeff, when I was a kid, he ran it, and I watched the whole thing to see him, and I never saw him, and he was quite a mundane looking chap. He was a nice guy, but he just had a face and a beard, and that was it. So
poor
I kept
guy.
Thinking I'd seen him because he had a beard. But
been working on that beard for years, and it's a mundane
beard.
Face.
It's a cracking beard, but you've got to do more than have a beard to impress John Richardson.
Well, his wife probably said to him, why have you started growing a beard? And he's like, well, John Richardson next door says I got a mundane face.
Yeah.
Trying to cover it up.
Yeah. So, go on, tell us about your weird childhood, John.
Was I normal is when I was, I'm guessing this was around the age of four, I, instead of speaking normal words, I developed my own language. Now, this is, people might not think that's that weird, because obviously when kids can't pronounce words, they assimilate their own words, but I had kind of grammar and everything, my own grammar. I was a bit like...
Quite precocious for a four-year-old.
I was a bit like a four-year-old Tolkien coming up with Elvish. But I'll take you through... I remember bits of it, but I had constructed sentences and stuff. So I'll take you through... Firstly, I'll take you through a few of the different terms. Now, gongonga was cucumber. Now, that is definitely... I just couldn't pronounce cucumber.
Yeah, you so said that's a language. That's just probably your parents worried that you needed some remedial education.
Well, that's where it starts. But then cats were meow roars.
Right.
Which is great, because even at the age of four, I've known that cats are both domestic and wild animals, and I've put them both into the same. So cats, meow roars, excellent. Oogly ooglies were... birds,
eyes.
Birds, planes, or rainbows.
Right, quite...
anything in the sky...
quite vague there, to be honest.
...was an oogly oogly.
So if a bird lands in the garden and is eating some seed, and you say there's an oogly oogly in the garden, your mum is apt to think that a plane is about to crash into her house.
All
that is the flaw with the language.
But and the sentence that I'm renowned for, and this is what made my mum take me to the GP, was, daddy ah, bok bok dick da. Which actually means daddy lit the stove with the match, which daddy obviously means daddy. Ah-ah for matches, because if you can't play with matches, so if you went to reach them, you go ah-ah. Bok-bok means stove, but also meant chicken. But you put a chicken in a stove, so, you know, again...
Bok-bok squared.
Bok-bok squared.
Or bok to the power four.
And dick-da means lit. So daddy lit the stove with
them.
But it's like Germanic. I've put the... Well, you know about languages. I've put the verb at the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
Daddy, with matches, stove lit.
Do you know what, John? I think you're giving yourself far too much credit. When you talked me through this and you said I had a language, I thought, well, I'll go with it. But it's just nonsense, isn't it? And, you know, it's kind of like how I feel about a lot of literature and art. There's really nothing to it, but you've invented all this. Oh, you have not put the verb at the end of the sentence there. It's just you've made a noise after a noise, and you're now pretending that one of the noises is a noise.
But this was how I communicated.
Well, you see, mine was very much more vague. I used to lie in doorways on my back with my head in the archway looking up at the door, and I used to gargle and pretend I was talking to aliens. But I had to do this for about half an hour to 40 minutes, non-stop.
Can I remind you of something you did when you were a kid?
Possibly, but do it in code so I can decide whether I'm happy.
That thing you and your mate did with pillows.
No, well, Russell talks about this all the time.
Okay.
That's just child play. We had post offices and wives. You've got to have a business.
You went to bed with pillows and pretended they were your wives.
We didn't go to bed with them. This is what people don't understand. This wasn't like a three-hour skit as part of the game where we would sleep for 3 hours. It would just be like you drag your pillow around with you and go, oh, you got the missus with you today, have you? And that's it, end of skit.
I love the fact that from the age of about six, you were like still a really world-weary man. Oh, bloody missus with me. It's a pillow.
Yeah, well, the post office. I mean, you know what the post office trade is these days. It's a dying business.
They're closing them down, John.
Even at a young age, I knew I was struggling. People just weren't buying stamps anymore. I blame the internet. But I blame the internet for everything. So we'll read a few of your was-I normals. Emma in York says, when I was younger, I used to eat as much of the bread that we used to take to feed the dogs as possible. What's disturbing about this is that we always used stale bread that had been in the freezer for months. I ate copious amounts of green Play-Doh, too.
I saw a hilarious thing at a reservoir in Bristol where a girl's parents were feeding the ducks. She was about five or six on a pink tricycle. I was there with my friend Sam, and she just drove her tricycle straight into the pond. It was not like she was cycling alongside and toppled in or didn't look where she was going. She just really purposefully drove straight into the duck pond and then cried. But, that was so funny.
Well, that's research, that. She's finding out what it would be like to drive into a pond. And instantly she's learnt not that good. On the eating thing as well, James also said, I ate a slug when I was a little boy. Have you eaten insect? I tried to eat when I was a child that I shouldn't was dog mess.
Oh,
I picked some up and thought
grief.
It was chocolate. But I didn't actually eat it. Luckily, they were adults on standby.
That's horrific.
Yeah. Well, it was quite a whoopsie.
I used to cry if ever I found dead worms, but that was after my dad left.
Oh dear, well, we're plumbing hidden depths here. This is turning into child psychology. I've got to nurse John back to health while we have some DeLuca. Now we're doing Was I Normal? We've had quite a Mardy one in, to be honest. This is political satire from Tom. He says, Dear John and Moody John. I'm assuming you're Moody John.
No, I'm assuming, and I know for a fact that you're Moody John.
Well, he spelt them both with an H, so it's difficult to tell.
I'm
not being moody this morning, am I? I mean, don't get me wrong, I hate everyone in the world.
But I mentioned that you'd been moody this morning, whereas I'm just, you know, charming and accessible.
Really? Accessible. Okie dokie. When I was young, I used to think that all people were equal. If there was a curable disease in the world, then it would be treated. If there was enough food in the world, then no one would starve. I used to think that money was a good thing, and that people who followed organised religion were good people. Was I normal?
Oh, Good grief.
Moody John. Was that? I don't know. You should still believe that, shouldn't you? I think yeah. You should still believe in the ideals of the world. This is more the sort of thing we're looking for. I didn't have many friends at school. Welcome to the club. I had a few friends. You shouldn't ever have too many friends.
No,
it's not genuine, is it?
I've got a close circle of great friends. I don't like to branch out too much because then, you know, you can't trust them all.
Yeah, yeah, and if one branch should fall, baby comes crashing down, crying at the dead worm that he crushed at the bottom. Can't believe, he used to cry over dead worms.
Yes, I was going through some issues. I was only six.
Ants?
No, but I never killed ants. I valued every living thing.
Oh, well done. Oh, what a society we live in where you have to clear that off. I wasn't an ant killer as a child. Don't go saying that. Anyway, Steph says, I didn't have many friends at school, so I was very happy when I made friends with a girl called Anna when I was about seven. I know. Ooh. Anna, she's a lovely girl. But then, since this was the first time I'd invited anyone back to my house, I got so overexcited that I jumped into a rose bush. It's important to express your joy. I think I thought in my excitement that I could take a massive leap and clear it, but I couldn't. And landed... Rosebush, they have prickles, don't they? I imagine that hurt a lot.
I've done lots of stuff like that where you just suddenly realise that everything's great in your life and ruin it by jumping into a wall or something.
Yeah.
I do that quite a lot, that sort of thing.
I like the moment where she obviously went to leap the rosebush as a sign of her love for her new friend Anna. Look, yeah. I love you so much I can jump over a rosebush. There's a moment when she first realises she isn't going to clear that rosebush.
But the worst thing is then ringing up Anna or Anna's mum and saying, oh, I'm not going to be able to come round, I've jumped into a rose bush. And Anna's going to think, that sounds like a very lame excuse. I'm not going to be spending any more time with that girl.
Yeah, or worse still, she believes that she has actually tried to jump a rose bush and thinks, do you know, I'm going to re-question our early friendship. I didn't realise you were the sort of person who jumped into brushes. Now, Tommy email then also says, John, with your obvious love of language and grammar, are you a pedant, John? You went to Oxford, didn't you, university?
Yes.
No need to sound shy about it. It's a very good thing. The fact that you haven't used your degree since you left.
People get the amp, though, don't they?
They get the amp.
They get the old amp.
You deliberately dropped your H there. Yeah. I mean, I went to Oxford. Don't get me wrong. I was there with the big time guys. Know what I mean? But I can drop an H for the best of them.
But people do, because people say, oh, where'd you go to university? And you go, Oxford. And they go, what, real Oxford? And I go, yeah. And they go, all right, don't ram it down my throat, mate. And you're like, I'm just answering a question.
That's your side of the conversation, but I think I've heard conversations that go, where'd you go to university? I don't mean to brag. Have you heard, well, obviously, heard of Oxford. Yeah, I went to Oxford. And that's when they go, all right, just
yeah, but
off.
I don't do that. I don't say that. And now you've made it sound like I do, so people, when they see me in the street, are just going to punch me in the face.
Yeah.
That happens anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, to be honest. And it's not because they recognise you.
No.
But you're not a pedant. You're not sort of narky about grammar. I was driving back yesterday. I stopped off at Strensham Services because I'm living the big time. They had a sign up on there. You know, they have those chewable toothbrushes, which are rubbish. I don't know if you've ever used one. They're so uncomfortable in your mouth. It's like chewing a bit of plastic with three bristles on it. It's horrible. And there's a mint inside it. Why don't you just have mint or brush your teeth? But it was out of order, which, let's be honest, that's not a big problem. But they put a sign up saying, sorry for the inconvenience, but this machine is out of order. Capital letters all over the place, to be honest. Sorry, capital letter, fine, start of a sentence. For there, no capital letters. Well, you think maybe he's dropped the capital letters. Inconvenience, capital letter. So you think, well, maybe he's not doing conjunctions and stuff, just a little. But capital letter, this machine, no capital letters. Absolutely mental, to be honest. But they put that sign up, and then at the bottom he put, this machine is out of order. An engineer has been called. Which suggests that they first put a sign up saying this machine is out of order, and someone went, oh, I've noticed your chewable toothbrush machine's out of order. And he went, yeah, sorry about that. And he went, well, what are you doing about it? Well, I phoned an engineer. To be honest, if the engineer hasn't come by Saturday at midnight, I'm guessing he's not going to be there all Monday morning. But you could see there were chewable toothbrushes in the machine. So it's the mechanism that's wrong. What a taunt. But what I remembered was the capital letters. So it's fair to say. He said, I think, John, with your obvious love of language and grammar, you should do a feature entitled The Most Annoying Sentence Possible and see if through public opinion you can construct the most annoying sentence or paragraph possible. My example would be, at the end of the day, it would be just so literally random.
Oh, that's a very good one.
That is a very good one. I think if you ever heard that, you're well entitled to punch the person who said that in the face.
Especially if they're a university student.
From Oxford.
No, that's the thing. Because
let's do that. Let's get you running the opposite direction in the London Marathon, just saying that sentence over and over again and see how many times we can get you punched. Shall we do that?
Kind of. I'd rather not.
Currently talking about was I normal? Basically, weird kids. Weird kids are fine afterwards, but there's nothing scarier than a weird kid at the time. Mm. Horror filmmakers have really clued onto that in the last few years. Every horror film now has a child who just his job is just to look through a window at some point and scare you. So have you got one there, John?
Yeah, I've got one. This is quite similar to something I used to do. This is from Arvid Post, saying, as a child, I believed that at night everything bad in the world was out to get you. Fair enough, but as an adult, you obviously just realise it's 24 hours a day.
Intense childhood. Oh, that's moody. You're definitely moody, John, today.
Well, I am now.
There's nothing wrong with my world. I had a great lasagna this week. I've had a power shower fitted, and I got coconut macaroons in my bag. Lime on board.
If I was the kind of person whose week could be improved by having a lasagna, then I would eat more lasagna.
This was no ordinary lasagna, John. Absolute belter. Myself away and had chips and salad with
it. And you had a sauce as well. Very good. So, to counter this, I used to set up my stuffed animals as a sort of defensive line, meaning I usually left for my bedroom 30 minutes early just to line up all the animals and give everyone orders. The stuffed dogs usually were on head duty, while the bears protected my main body and the penguins defended my legs, as penguins usually do.
Yeah.
Well, he says, was I normal? Well, I think you were, because when I was...
30 minutes.
All right, maybe that's a... But he's got to give them strict instructions. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was afraid of witches, and I used to think, A, if I went to the toilet and I locked the door, I had to... it was a little bolt lock. I had to lock it... I had to flick it down to stop witches, whereas if I just locked it and flicked it up, the witches could get in. And when I was in bed, I used to think that the witches came into your room whenever you closed your eyes, but if you had your head under the covers, they then couldn't get you. But so now I can't have my head in the covers because it gets stuffy, so I'd have to come out every so often and open my eyes. Sorry.
I think everyone has the fear. I still have the fear. Anything protruding from your duvet is liable to be eaten off by something. And yeah. I still have that fear to the day. And it gets hot. You light your feet out of the bottom of the duvet sometimes, but you think, I don't want to wake up with no feet. No. And let's be honest, that's probably what's going to happen. This is the greatest way to start any text. Ah, yes. Worms. So, you know, any text you want to send into the show in future, even if you've got nothing to do with worms, feel free to start with, ah, yes, worms, .. 64046. I used to thread worms into the handle of my dad's wheelbarrow. I don't really know why you would do that. They said they used to wiggle a bit, but I usually managed. Well done. Well done for, you know, I'm sure that dog-eared determination, Toby, is why you're a successful man today, and you own a successful worm wheelbarrow business. Why would you do that? Is it just so when your dad grabbed the wheelbarrow, he'd squash a load of worms?
Well, no, that's quite a good idea, in a sense, because gardeners like to have worms to air the soil. So if you had a little worm pouch attached to a wheel... Oh, we should go on Dragon's Den. Yeah. A little pouch attached to the side full
Very
of worms.
Very briefly.
And you could sprinkle the worms on your garden.
That is terrible.
As you... Are you trying to be Duncan Bannatyne?
Yeah, well, at least you didn't think it was the woman.
No.
That's all right, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a Scottish accent, but fair enough. It could equally be Alex Ferguson. Lucy says, I used to eat frozen foods. A particular favourite was chips and sausages.
Oh, that's quite dangerous, though, isn't it? Ray Mears says, never eat frozen snow, because it actually lowers your core heat, which is the heat you've got to strive to maintain out in the wilderness.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first. If you're out in the wilderness today, if there is a sudden drop in temperature during the marathon and you're tempted to scoop some frozen snow, I thought you meant Ray Mears says, never eat frozen broccoli.
Well, he wouldn't anyway.
But he wouldn't. He'd just eat twigs and make it into a delicious broth.
I'd love to go to Ray Mears' house and see what it's like.
Yeah, well,
it's just full of microwave meals.
I'm obsessed with the fact that all celebrities are lying. I'm pretty sure Jamie Oliver's got a McDonald's in his basement that is run on child labour. And I'm pretty sure Ray Mears very seldom leaves the house. And I bet most of his stuff is filmed on set.
Yeah, he's in a studio. It's like the moon landing.
Yeah, can someone please bring me a cup of Earl Grey?
Yeah.
I'm parched out here. I've been doing that ice scene all day.
Or if the camera when the camera moves away from him, he goes all camp. And he's like, oh, someone get this away from me.
I nearly touched that wire there. I'm not joking. Frozen food. There's nothing more disgusting in the world than a chip which is defrosted but not cooked. You know when you're cooking chips and one of them falls off and it's in that middle stage, like wet bread.
Well, considering that comes from a man who once ate dog mess.
I didn't eat dog mess. I tried to eat dog mess and I was thwarted at every turn by those pesky kids. As a child, says Carly from Hither Green.
Ooh.
Never heard of Hither Green. It sounds like a place posh old people live. I live in Hither Green. Come hither to the Hither Green. Where is Sea of the Green? Does anyone know?
South London.
South London. Oh, that's probably a hole then. that's fair, isn't it? Crime and markets. I've seen TV. Dick Van Dyke swanning around the place.
If you want to text in, that's 64046, or email Russ... Well, I don't know what the email is. The one I've got in front of me said something different.
I'd much rather go to Hither Green and, yeah, you coming down Hither Green?
I've got some
stuff what fell off the back of a lorry. I say it fell off the back. I'll shot the driver. And anyway, I'll let you have it for 50p. It's a surprise box. I love it when you hear stories about people have bought... There was a story about people who'd bought laptops off the back of a lorry and got them on open the box, and the box was just full of onions. I'm sorry, you deserve everything you get. If you buy a laptop and don't open the box or notice the rank stench of onions coming out of it... Ah, nah, mate, don't worry about that. It's one of them new onion laptops. It's to stop people looking at your emails and that makes them cry. It's a new security feature, idiots. As a child, I used to be so obsessed with Wind in the Willows. To be honest, I've still got issues with Wind in the Willows. I demanded to be called Toad for most of my youth.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
If you're going to pick a name from Wind in the Willows, though, I mean, I to be honest, once I'd got into Wind in the Willows, I was only ever going to be Ratty. He's the best character.
I'm not really familiar with it.
Was I normal? You had one that came in there that made you laugh out loud.
It did, but it probably isn't as funny as it was to me. So this is from...
It's a fickle throwaway world, isn't it?
Things
it was funny to me
be.
Then.
Mm. This is from Claire Hale. When my brother and I were little, we used to have a big pampas grass plant in our garden, as I did as a kid. I always remember us burning it every year, because you have to burn it to keep it back. We would pick the big plumes, put them down the back of our trousers and play squirrels. I'm assuming that means they would play as squirrels and not play squirrels as some form of instrument.
Yeah.
I used to collect nuts from around the house, the ones that are always left over from Christmas, and hide them in trees.
Well, that's important to have a hobby as a child. Someone says, I have a friend with a very messed up childhood. Let's not get into that. That's not what this feature is supposed to be about. I'm not talking damaged goods. Who now considers raw sausages a delicacy. Have you ever had steak tartare? That's just... why did you hesitate?
Is that
then?
Saying thank you twice for steak?
Oh, nice. Thanks.
Thank you.
Northern reference. Yeah. No, it's raw. It's just mince.
I have, yeah. I love... Well, mince.
Well, it's minced steak.
What's
isn't it?
That steak that's really, really thinly sliced that's raw? That's not tartare. You hit it. Really, we don't hit it once they've given it to you. But yeah. When you're preparing it, you hit it. It's very... gazpacho is cold soup. I get them mixed up. Gazpacho is the cold soup, and what is the raw steak? Thin bits of steak.
This is great.
Great radio. If you know, tell me, because...
Yeah, 64046, what is... It's a term you're looking for is for any thinly sliced meat, isn't it?
No.
Carpaccio?
Carpaccio, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I get it confused with...
I am the food
gazpacho.
King.
You are the food king.
Unless that's wrong, in which case I just said it with confidence.
Never say that too quickly as well.
Carpaccio?
No. Don't worry.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see what you were doing there. Have you finished what you were saying? Oh, we're talking about raw steak.
Yeah. Well, you asked me if I'd ever had it.
Yeah.
And I kind of then ruined everything.
Yeah.
But carry on your
it's
line of questioning.
How you do that, isn't it?
Oh.
Well, that's all I've got is, have you ever had it? I haven't,
yeah.
And I don't think I would.
I like very, very rare steak. Oh, it was funny. Once we went out for a meal from my friend's birthday whilst at university, and we were all sat in
Oxford.
A line. Yes. All of me and my kind of mates, and we were all trying to outdo each other. My friend Chris said, I'll have a steak. And the hot French waitress said, how would you like it cooked? I nearly did a French accent then. And he went, rare. And then she asked me, how do you like your steak? And I went, can I have mine slightly rarer than his? And we were joking. And then my third friend, Alex, said, I'll have mine blur, as if to say blue. And she just didn't understand what he was saying. And we all laughed.
Great days at Oxford University. Did you study French?
No, I studied English.
Text coming in. Was I normal? John, extruding limbs from the bed, I had the same fear. I was always scared that Postman Pat would drive up in his van and cut them off. That's Dave in Bristol.
But how do you... What on earth from the Postman Pat show would give lead you to believe that he would, after he'd finished his round, he'd said goodbye to Mrs. Goggins, popped Jess into a basket, he'd then start culling people's limbs from their bedrooms.
Go home and read all the posts that he's stolen from you. Postman Pat, out to get you. Maybe we'll do like a sinister Postman Pat.
You realise now that no mail will go to your house? Because usually there's plenty of mail.
Well, when I first moved to Swindon, my post used to get there before 8, and I made a big show on the radio since. Amazing, my post always arrives before 8, and now I don't get my post until late, and I get very little post. And they always put two copies of the Swindon Star, as if to say, oh, I'll give that one to your girlfriend. You haven't got one. So I just have to throw one straight in the recycling. I felt that my duvet protected me, which often led to getting so hot that I thought I was going to pass out. But anything's better than being gotten by witches, says Abby.
Well, I don't quite understand
being
that.
Under a duvet. Well, she said that she would hide under her duvet, wrap herself up in it.
But you're in under your duvet anyway, and you don't usually get so hot.
Oh, but I think she means tucking her head under and suffocating herself.
Well, that's not good.
No.
You need a snorkel, at least.
Yeah, or, you know, a blowhole out of the top of the duvet.
You've got one of those in your duvet, actually, John, but you don't... What do you use that for?
I felt... I used to think that my toys came to life when I wasn't there. I would try to catch them out by running into the room, says Liz.
Oh, you'll never catch them.
That's what being a child's all about, isn't it? Pretending that your toys come to life. And if you're not going to do that, then there's probably no point having toys.
Or just buy ones that speak anyway.
As a child, if I got given toys, I went, what's the point? They'll never come to life. You just try to shelter the fact I haven't got any friends, mother. I was very depressed as a child.
Were
I wasn't. Was I normal? When I was wee, well, if you used to be wee, probably. You've done well to even get to a point where you can text. When I was wee, I was afraid of the click when a cassette... That's tickled you, hasn't it, John? I was afraid of the click when a cassette stopped playing and had to run out of the room before it happened. That's definitely not normal.
Well, I used to listen to the A-Team story tapes. So we were talking about story tapes last week. The A-Team and Indiana Jones. And they would always give you... There would be a sound effect where you had to turn the page. And with Indiana Jones, it was a whiplash. And with the A-Team, it was like a... And that was brilliant. But when the tape stopped, I'd always have to call my mum to come and turn it over.
Oh, I love... There's nothing makes you feel more pathetic than having to call your mum to do anything as a child. There's a one age where, you know the noise, Mum, you just stop making that one day. One day, suddenly think, that's pathetic, I'm going to do that for myself. As a child, I was convinced that Dracula lived under my bed and would wrap my hair around my neck for protection.
I'm not sure that's going to work.
No. Are you aware that you said Goldfrapper read that one? And Joe in Liverpool, I used to catch big dragonflies and stick pins through them and put them in my shed and see how long it took them to... This is horrible. The longest one lasted 5 weeks.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it. He must have been feeding it.
But the thing with that is that if you did it to moths, all right, fair enough, they're pretty boring, but a dragonfly is pretty much a mythical beast. And I will not tolerate them being pinned against walls. Do it with ugly creatures.
But not
worms.
Horrible. They're
dragonflies
horrible,
are incredible.
Frightening beasts.
You can imagine little people flying on their backs.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, His Dark Materials. Mm. I can't remember what the characters are called, but they're... I mean, she does go on to say, I regret this cruelty now, but she used to tell her mum that it was for a biology experiment, which it clearly wasn't. Anyway, I went out this week and met a guy called Jamie Coffey, and I said, you sound a bit dull. Where's your mate? Jamie T. Jamie T there. I'm guessing he did not go to Oxford, and that's why he talks in a way what sells more of the recordings.
I think he probably did go to Oxford and doesn't speak at all like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, well, Goldie Looking Chain went to a very posh private school in South Wales, didn't they? I've got a mate who's a mate of theirs.
Nothing worse than affectations.
I've never been to Ross Noble's house, but I have got a mate of a mate who knows a guy from Goldie Looking Chain, so there you go. Now, I've got news of a monthly Fandango gig, Six Music's monthly gig, so this month's going to be Indigo Moss, The Strange Death of Liberal England and New World Record. Playing there. You can win tickets to go and see them all at the Borderline in London on the 26th of April. You can go online and enter a prize draw to get in that. Now we're doing a Was I Normal? I've got a few more in. Your friend texted in, John, to say that I think you'll find he asked for his steak very rare.
Well, I think you'll find I asked for mine slightly rarer than his.
When we do the listen again, we'll edit that story out. It's now a factually flawed anecdote. When I was a little boy, I had a puppy.
Isn't that a song? When I was a little girl, I wasn't a girl.
No, you weren't, but somehow now you're closer than you've ever been. When I was a little boy, I couldn't sleep with my legs open in case a red... In case... It gets worse, so if you're laughing at that, this is from Mark in Saltdean. I like the name Saltdean. Like laughing at Saltdean. When I was a little boy, I couldn't sleep with my legs open in case a red Indian shot an arrow at my testicles. Well, that's finished. I was going to turn to John then to read one, but I think maybe we should move on since he's dying. I suppose he's just listened to the Indian in the cupboard, and because that's quite good. I only listened to that recently for the first time.
And they shoot arrows at your glands.
No, but he shoots arrows, and one of them shoots a pistol. Have you ever listened to it? It's very nice. No. Very nice story. You should listen to it. Tracy in Cornwall.
What are you doing that voice for?
Tracy, off of Coronation Street. Is there Tracy?
Well, she's from Cornwall.
Tracy.
Well, I don't know where that's from. It's not from space.
Trace. I might go to Cornwall. I think I'm going to just go away tomorrow.
I'd go there as soon as possible, John.
Apparently, according to last week's free supplement, most Richardsons are found in Truro, so I might go and root some of them out and have a terribly awkward short conversation in a pub. Are you a Richardson? Yeah, so am I.
It'd be weird if they were all like you, weren't they?
It would be horrible if they were all like me. I think I'd probably hate them all.
Amen.
I used to collect tadpoles and put them in the gaps in the patio after it had been raining, so they were all swimming around the back door. Mm. However, the puddles had a habit of drying up when the rain stopped, so as a child, I was responsible for the death of countless innocent tadpoles. They only turn into frogs, and I hate frogs. Something that a frog is just wrong in every... The colour, the shape, the noise, the texture. Frogs are just
the political
rank.
Views.
What do frogs do? They don't really do anything.
They hang out.
I think they're rubbish, frogs. Death of innocent. It wasn't deliberate, it just took me a while to connect the two events. Hi, Johns.
Nice.
But as I say, one John without an H, so technically. I'm right-handed, and when I was little, I thought my left hand would feel excluded, so I tried to involve it in writing, drawing, etc. Was I normal, flicking chorley? That's not normal, but I think it's very good to be aware of that as a child, to think, when I'm older, I want to be ambidextrous.
Yeah.
I wish I was ambidextrous.
I bat left-handed at cricket, so...
is that a euphemism? Are we going back to an earlier conversation?
No, but I'm right-handed in everything else, but also baseball, you know, left-handed.
As if
golf.
You play baseball.
I play baseball.
Have you met John? He went to Oxford, and I've heard he bats left-handed at cricket, if you know what I mean.
The cad.
Have you got a Was I Normal?
This is someone else. It's on behalf of someone else. It's from Jules Hindle. Morning, guys. This story isn't mine, unfortunately, although I wish it was, as I think it's excellent. When he was a little boy, an ex-boyfriend of mine used to really love the wildlife in his garden. Don't worry. Especially snails. He would spend hours looking for them, and then when he found one, he would paint a little white V for Vinny, brackets his name, on them in Tippex. Let them go, and sit and wait for them to reappear at some time in the future. He was a quiet little boy, but always had friends because of his little gang of snails. How cute! And then she's done like a smiley face, which I think suggests she'd quite like to be going out with him again.
Oh dear, well let's not get into that. I wouldn't go out with a man who catalogues snails. Probably get yourself someone with a job.
There's a guy at my school who drank a bottle of Tippex for 50p.
Really?
Mm.
You can't do that.
Well, he did, and he went to the nurse.
Well, that was a terrible mistake, but instantly corrected. Now, we're going to move on eventually into One Good Deed, which started off as a feature about good things you've done and has slowly morphed into things you tried to do but backfired terribly that have taught you that it's probably not worth doing anything nice for anyone. So text those in 64046. It's always when I got to do the text number, I do a big sentence, and it's too much for me. I've got to learn to hold back.
It's because you're going on to autopilot, John, and I know you're best when you're riffing.
Yeah. Oh, really... 6404.
He's taken off his top. Kneeling on the floor doing girls' press-ups.
Imagine doing... I've got good press-up technique. You've told me that before.
Yeah, you have got... I cannot fault you on your press-ups.
Me and Russell had a press-up contest in the living room.
You did.
And mine were good press-ups, so I lost because he was cheating. He
turned
was just
into something of a scuffle.
Arching his back. It looked more like he was trying to rot the carpet than anything else.
You guys used to wrestle in the living room, didn't you?
We did once have a wrestle, which I won, yeah.
You did. But it was... It's like, you know that point when men are wrestling jovially and then it clicks that both of them are actually being quite competitive, and you can tell because they kind of bite down and think, no, I'm actually going to win this, I'm going to have him, and you for want of a better phrase, tossed him over the sofa.
Yeah, I did. I used to wrestle a lot with my mate Lee when we were kids, and we both had a fight face, and his was biting down on his tongue and mine was biting my bottom lip. And we both sort of knock about a bit, but then eventually someone on a back fling would catch someone in the face. And whoever got hit in the face would go, no hitting in the face. And that's when it got serious. But you've got to keep Russell in his place. You've got to get him down, haven't you, Russell?
Please.
Yeah, you ask for it. I'll take you down. That's the Russbot 3000. So yeah, we're moving on to One Good Deed. But there's a lot of these Was I Normals coming in, so we might as well carry on with them. Morning, Johns. When I was young, but probably until I was 9 or 10, I thought that there was a little man inside every traffic light who would change the lights to red if he didn't like the look of you, especially if he didn't think you had a clean car or the car wasn't cool enough. Now, I used to think, and still don't really know how traffic lights work. It's incredible, isn't it? You forget how much stuff you use every day that you never stop to think, that's amazing, traffic lights.
They're just timed.
Yeah, but that's amazing. They control traffic, but they're timed in such a way that the busiest roads get to go first.
But that's not true, because increasingly they don't work and they block up things. So the worst bit is when you're at traffic lights and they're green and you can't blummin' move.
I like traffic. I think they're great. But I still think that there's... I thought for years there must be a man in an office somewhere whose job it is to control all the traffic lights. I thought, God, that's a tough job. I wouldn't fancy that. That's Jackie in Stafford. And she also says, always enjoy the show. Lasagna sounds good, but I've never made one. It seems very complicated with all the different layers.
Oh no, they're easy.
Anything but complicated. And a recipe that you can really riff with, you know, you can really mess about. Make it with chicken, turkey, beef mince, make it spicy, make it not spicy, do a sort of tomatoy sauce, do a stocky sauce, have a mess about, enjoy yourself. And on food, someone's texted in to say, before we move on, how did the dinner that Touchy McToot had to cook for his house go on Monday? And that's from James.
Well, I was quite lucky in the fact that only two people turned up. Well, actually, only one.
Own housemates don't turn up for dinner.
Well, no, because they said, oh, well, we're all away on Monday, so can't you cook on Tuesday? And I was like, I'm cooking for two. So
I cooked, think they knew that you couldn't cook.
The liquid content was too high, so I put lots of rice in. So it kind
of cooked my fish stew, didn't you?
I did cook your fish stew. It turned into a paella. It was absolutely lovely, though.
Right.
Following on from things being inside other things...
Sorry. Just follow on quickly. I don't remember when we talked about that.
The beautiful Joe from Cheltenham says, I used to think that small rabbits lived in dogs' ears and operated lever-like controls, and that's why dogs hear so well. I even thought I saw one of them once.
Right. So, the beautiful Joe, is that your girlfriend, Joe John?
Might be.
Are you just trying to flirt over the radio?
Pretty much.
Disgusting, unbelievable behaviour. Was I normal? One thing that always worried me, this is weird, this one, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. When I was 7 on a sunny afternoon, I was inside my tent in the garden.
Why wouldn't you be?
Well, what else are you going to do in the sunshine except get undercover? I was inside my tent in the garden, says Paul, in Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury.
I'd say shrew, though. You don't say shrow, do you?
Yeah, well, you don't...
The
there
taming
are a lot of,
of the shrew.
But there are a lot of things you don't change when... You
There's
do
a lot of things I don't change.
There's a lot of things you change when other words are added to them. Anyway, carry on, sorry.
he's in his tent, right? It's an old canvas job. It's a summer afternoon. Mm. He's taken all his clothes off and
of
let
course.
The tent collapse onto him. And he says, I remember getting some kind of horn from this. I still don't know what this means.
He sounds like the sort of person that now meets up with middle-aged divorcees and they get into big rubber suits and blow each other up and all horrible stuff like that and on
right.
housing estates.
Well, Paul, we clearly need more information from you if that's the kind of stuff you get into.
Ask him if he's got a canvas fetish now.
Well, to be honest, John, I think the more important thing is that you came up with that whole scenario very quickly, as if maybe you've done that before. DJH texted in before. Now, ooh. DJH is a regular contributor, and I usually get confused about whether he's a DJ whose name starts with H and he's abbreviated it to sound cool. And he's got very angry now. He says, what's all this about then? The previous text I've sent you, you've said you're not sure if I'm a DJ, and when I tell you I'm not a DJ, I become someone anonymous. You don't even read out my name. Well, I'm very sorry, DJH, so that's all cleared up now. As a child, I tried to assume a position that would remove all of the creases out of my skin. I never managed to find one. Marcus in Shepherd's Bush.
How many creases do you have in your skin as a child?
I don't know. Maybe it means, like, eyelids, belly, elbows.
Did you have a creased belly when you were a child?
No, but, you know, like, when you lean forward, you get folds, don't you?
No, I'm,
well, you don't, because you've
toned.
Got a body like Malcolm in the Middle, Frankie Muntz. You've got no fat on you at all, and your skin, you can pull at any point upwards to a metre away from your body.
Check
it's
that
quite
out.
Disgusting. Look at that. He's just done that in the studio. He's pulling the sort of below his jaws. It's really disgusting, that.
Chicks dig it.
I'm sure they do. What chicks are...
You can do it a bit, Adam. Yeah, that's coming right out.
Not to that level.
Yeah, but try it. Oh, you will love this. And then you'll go on dates and you'll get kind of nervous and bored and not know what to say and realise that you're pulling your skin about 6 inches off your face and the girl's just staring at you horrified and you go, oh, sorry, you call me.
Yeah, exactly. Chicks, if you're looking for flaccid males, then I've got two in the studio who are desperate for your company. Linda from Reading, little cheeky gag, she's texting in. I'd give my left arm to be ambidextrous. Because you wouldn't have... the music...
But no, because if you did give your left arm, you then would be ambidextrous, because you'd be using 100% of your arms to do everything.
No, because ambi means both.
Oh.
From ambos.
Oh, who went to Oxford now?
I didn't even apply to Oxford. I went on an open day there. And you know, I'm close to a breakdown at any point. But I went to an open day at Oxford and thought, I will really go really, really mental here.
Well, no, that's not true. You'd have loved it because we were all kind of fine and cool. Because all the people who were so annoying that they couldn't get into Oxford got into Bristol where you went. and make living in Bristol quite a vile experience during the term time, walking around going, oh, hello, Giles, have you been to Charlie's recently? I drove around in my new RAV4. And that's why you went mad. You
I went
mad
to a lunch at, is it King's College, the one with the big square lawn in front of it?
A lot of them have got square lawns in front of them.
I went there and I was sat next to a really posh lady. I had more cutlery than I even knew existed. And I'm a fan of cutlery, so I was happy with that. But I knew stuff I'd never seen a fish knife before.
Yeah, but the kind of the working class colleges, if you can call them that, the ones that have a high proportion of equal...
Oikes. You can call me an oik, John.
Well, I went to quite a left-wing college that used to be a women's college.
Pretty out there.
We just played darts every Wednesday, and it was brilliant.
Yeah, no one told me about darts. I sat next to a posh woman who said, why did you select to have your lunch at Queen's College today? And I said, because that's what it said on my lunch voucher. Which turned out not to be the correct answer.
You'd have absolutely loved darts at Oxford.
I like darts.
Oh, it was the best
cracking darts commentary this week. I really like the Premier League darts on a Thursday night. It's a good chance to see men holding up signs that prove how stupid they are. And the commentary, I've had to turn it off this week. At one point, I think is his name John Gwynne? I can't remember the guy who commentates on the darts. At one point said, well, there's only one way to describe that. Three words. Fan, tass and tick. Mm. That's not three words, mate. Just, I was so angry.
Well, you were proffering the idea last night that it would be really great to have a sports channel where the people that were doing the commentary knew about the sport, were also quite funny, and were allowed to swear and be quite critical. And so yeah. It'd be like, so you could watch a football match or the snooker, but people were allowed to kind of banter and chat. A bit like the Test Match Special commentary, but slightly more adult.
I think so. There's a lot of scope for people who know about sport, but are just funny as well. I'd much rather listen to someone who will mess about and talk about sport and make jokes about, you know, fat sportsmen and stuff like that, than people who can't really say... Like, if you someone commentating on the marathon this morning and having a bit of a laugh with it, going, well, she ain't finishing, or something like that, that'd be far more fun to watch. You go, oh, someone chunned her in there. Should have had a bigger breakfast.
Yeah.
That'd be much more funny. But they've also got to know about proper runners and go, oh, well, that's so-and-so. No one cares about runners, do they?
Watch the darts or the snooker or stuff like that if say, you were doing the commentary.
Right, well, if you're listening, anyone who owns a sports channel, I can commentate on most sports.
That'd be funny, though.
Don't really know anything about cricket.
I'll do the cricket. But no, because
Text Match Cricket.
Test Match Special is one of the best things on radio, so I wouldn't want to impinge on them.
I'm not going to anger anyone. The entire Cricket World Cup has passed me by. And shock horror, we were rubbish at it. Who thought that was going to happen? We've had the angry text in saying about that one we had in about, you know, what we had in about the thing.
I had heard that.
You remember that? Mm. Someone saying they nail dragonflies to their...
Ooh.
They attach dragonflies to their shed wall. Someone's texted in and said, you can't feed dragonflies because they haven't got mouths.
Ooh, wow.
So,
but I told you they were mythical beasts.
Yeah. Because they haven't got mouths, like all famous mythical beasts. There's a cracking story in the newspaper this week about a German sprite. He's a ghost cartoon character, and he's been around for 40 years. And they're having a court case about him now, because the woman who designed him, who draws him, wants him to have a girlfriend now. And the woman who created him is taking her to court, because she says sprites don't have girlfriends.
You've got to have laws.
You've got to govern cartoons, otherwise it's going to get mental. I think the more children need role models that are just happy on their own. This really gets into my kind of thing, but I don't see why children need to see cartoon characters that have girlfriends. Why can't he just be he's a ghost anyway. His job is haunting boats on the Baltic Sea, which is not a great job, to be honest. You know, someone's got to do it. But why can't he just be happy on his own?
Well, that's from John Richardson there, creator of the Cabbage Patch eunuchs.
Very nice. So, was I normal? My friend Siobhan and I, as eight-year-olds, wanted to try smoking, but were afraid of real cigarettes, as my mum told us they kill you. Your mum was right. So we smoked cotton wool buds instead.
They're good for you.
Yeah, very good for you. A good nice bit of cotton wool bud first in the morning. Someone says, John went to Oxford and pronounces paella, paella.
That's the thing. That's why you shouldn't mention it. Don't mention... If you ever went to Oxford, don't tell anyone, because they just think it's a licence to pick you up on everything you do.
Yeah.
And
but rightly so.
Well, no, not rightly so.
You've got to... my school motto was lead by getting ahead. And if you've got to get ahead to lead. And then if you get ahead and don't choose to lead, you're wasting your opportunity. God, that was really serious, wasn't it? I got really serious in the last couple of minutes. Everyone should live on their own and try everything really hard. Was I normal? When I was seven, I filled up the bath with water. Perfectly normal so far.
Perfectly normal, I've done that.
Probably not for a seven-year-old. Probably, I don't know, at seven, do you still get your mum to run you a bath?
Yes.
All right.
No. Certainly
God,
don't.
You've changed.
You don't share the same water.
No. She filled up the bath with water, then dug up worms in the garden.
Guys, I've started a worms problem, haven't I?
Yeah, not for the first time.
Oh, very good.
Bristol GP's overrun. Dog got worms in the garden. Again, not necessarily abnormal in itself.
No,
maybe
fine.
Doing a bit of gardening.
Absolutely
then
fine.
Put all the worms in the bath.
Whoa!
Crazy.
That's where the madness comes in.
Well, she ain't finished, mate. She ain't finished. And then fed them all the bread that was in the house.
Well, that is bizarre.
We all know worms love bread. I also tried to save a mouse that my cat had caught, but ended up drowning it in a cup. She was trying to clean the wound and drowned the mouse in the cup.
Right.
I also found a bird that couldn't fly, which I kept in my room until it could fly, then tied a piece of red wool on its leg and took it outside in the early hours of the morning.
Good grief. It'd be great if this email was from Chris Packham.
Yes, Rolf Harris. I could go on, but I won't. My sister and I used to climb into a sleeping bag, head first, and slide down the stairs. That's amazing, isn't
it? That is dangerous, though.
Going down the stairs on a mattress.
Ooh, no, I couldn't do that.
Well,
I'd be too scared.
Maybe I'll do it later at my house. It'd be funny. I'd quite like to see. Plus,
yeah,
I've got a kink in my stairs, so you'd fly into the wall at the bottom of it.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be fun.
It would for me. God, you're just so selfish. All I want you to do is smash your face into a wall for my amusement.
Oh, the things I've done for your amusement. Russell once paid me £20 to eat a banoffee pie all in one go. You offered me £40 to fall on a chair. And Russell once paid me £40 in a restaurant to eat a massive long chili out of a kind of a display.
Yeah, you did that as well.
Yeah.
It was a jar of it was a fairly pretentious restaurant where they had jars of chilies and limes as a decoration. And you ate a red chili, didn't you?
£40
And then had to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
£40, that's a good thing. If you haven't got a mate who's got a lot of money and he's regularly bored, I suggest you go out and get one. Russell's great. He will just offer you money to do anything.
He gave me a fiver to eat one of those little serving jars of English mustard at the sausage company in
Bristol.
Well, that's
money for old rope, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because you were probably going to do that anyway.
Do you know where that phrase comes from?
Money for old rope?
Yep.
No.
They used to sell the hangman's noose after hangings because they thought it brought good luck. But essentially, they were money for old rope.
Where on earth did that tradition come from? Well, that's a lucky bit of rope, that. That really broke a man's neck. You want to hang that over your door, and it'll constantly bring you good luck.
Loop a horse's shoe through it.
Loop a horse's shoe. Yeah, is it any homework from today's lecture? I do like when he talks for the university.
Oh,
someone says frogs eat slugs, which I suppose is trying to make me like frogs. I just had a bad experience with a frog. I was riding along the cycle track at Lancaster and a frog jumped out at me with a knife.
I bet you fell off your bike and screamed.
I probably did. And cut my elbow. The music and frozen screen that would be played when a TV channel had a technical fault always scares me.
Always scares me?
Yeah, he spelt it wrong. I'm just reading what you send, guys. I'm just reading what you send. I'd like to say it did scare me in the past tense, but it still does, and I have to turn the TV off instantly if it happens.
Well,
the
it is a clown.
It's a clown and the little girl, isn't it?
Mm, it is quite haunting. You imagine it's suddenly the clown's face getting really gross and the girl turning into a corpse.
There'll be a reason they had that, but I'd have liked to have been in the board meeting. I go, what are we going to flash up if all the shows go off? What about a little girl playing with a creepy clown?
Mm.
And no one went, could not just like fruit, like a bowl of fruit or something? No, we'll go with a freaky clown. Hi, John and Oxford boy.
Oh, see, this is how it starts. And I'm an average guy about town. You can approach me, ask me about issues. I'll help you out. I'll lend you a fiver. Oh, it's Oxford boy. Yeah, he's real.
Well, all right, then. We'll pull out my ace in the hole. Do you not have two piles of books, one that you keep by your door so that people walking past your bedroom will see James Joyce, Shakespeare, all that, and then the other books that you really read, you keep by your bed, hidden away from people, so that by the time they notice you read them, they're already in your bedroom, and to be honest, more vulnerable than they can ever dream of?
By the time they see the second stash of books, which is mainly Sherlock Holmes and lists of Scrabble words, they've already been charmed and are captivated by my spell.
I forgot to mention that you were a wizard. Sorry about that. As a child, brackets preschool, I was an insomniac. That's probably not normal.
No.
I used to sit on the bed in the early hours of the morning, and because of the silence, I could hear my heart beating very loudly. I used to imagine toy soldiers marching to the beat. Then I would go into a light, trance-like sleep, sitting up with my eyes open, staring at the curtains. Those curtains terrified me, but I now know that my own psychological screw-ups were responsible, and it wasn't the fault of the curtains. Well, it sounds like she's really sorted out any mental illness she had, if she's willing to forgive curtains for upsetting her as a child.
That is one of the more disturbing ones we've had in.
Have you ever hallucinated?
Yes.
It's quite fun, isn't it, afterwards? I once got really ill when I was a child and hallucinated, and I properly thought I was driving a racing car around the patterns on my wallpaper, and I got really freaked out.
I got sunstroke in Malaysia and hallucinated,
Right.
But that was all right, because I basically just saw all the fish. Because I'd been snorkelling and hadn't worn a T-shirt, and the sun had got to my back. But then the other time, I was at Ashton Court Festival in Bristol and had taken some drag.
And, you can say it any way you like, mate. You can't dress it up.
I don't do it anymore. I can't. I find drug use vile, apart from in a medical sense.
But alcohol?
At the time...
Tobacco?
Well, it's not a drug, it's a drink. At the time, I thought it was cool and I was trying to impress girls, and I woke up eating mud.
And that's when you met Russell Howard.
Yeah.
So, I had my power shower fit this week.
Oh, I thought there was something different about you.
Yes, I've got a power shower now.
It's removed a layer of skin from you.
It's on, but it's a cracking shower. I'll say that. I've only had
chance
to use it once.
Well, you want to get it replaced then?
Oh, nice. God, you sometimes you're quick. Sometimes. Really, really slow.
Yeah.
But the guy who fitted it, right, he knocked on at 9:30. What's funny about that? It's a Northern expression for knocking on the door. He knocked on.
Oh, right, okay.
The door.
Okay.
What did you think I meant? He died?
No, I thought maybe it was...
He was playing dominoes?
Yeah, because he knocking... I don't know why I did that.
Why did you laugh at that? Anyway, knocked on the door at 9:30, because they said they were coming at 9:30. I thought, yeah, right, I'll be ready at 10:30. 9:27 he knocked on the door. Not that I was counting. He came upstairs, and he said that he quoted me a day and a half to fit the power shower. And I said, oh, fair enough. He said, I've got to go to a hospital appointment at 5:00.
Oh.
And I thought, well, we won't delve into that. We'll just
been
move on.
Been knocking on too much.
Yeah, exactly. So I moved on. Anyway, he's only managed to fit the thing in a day.
Oh, John, you must have knocked him on.
He's come waltzing into my office, right, because he didn't know about the two knocks rule. He's come waltzing into my office and he's gone, yeah, oh, you managed to get it done in the day, to my surprise. And I went, oh, fantastic. He went, yeah, well, I just thought, you know, if they don't give me long to live at the hospital, at least you're all set.
Oh.
How did that make me feel?
Oh, well, especially, you know, while you're playing on your keyboard and painting at the same time.
Yeah, if you die, I'll toast you in the shower tomorrow morning, which doesn't sound right, to be honest.
If you heard that he did die, you'd go to his funeral, wouldn't you? All clean.
Yeah, I probably would.
It's what Reg would have wanted.
Yeah, drove him round the U-bend. That's just a terrible joke that I just slid in for no reason at all there. But that day, I got ID'd in Morrison's, right? Mm. And that made me livid, to be honest, because I don't look young anyway. But I know the ID everyone. But the common sense was completely lacking, right? Because I went into Morrison's, I bought a fairly expensive bottle of Merlot, right? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, your average underage drinker doesn't go for Merlot. If I'd been buying Smirnoff Ice and chew it, then fair enough. But I bought a bottle of expensive Merlot, the ingredients for my lasagna, right? Raw, I'm cooking my own lasagna, and a watering can for my garden. Now, if a 16-year-old goes into Morrison's in the middle of the day, fairly well-dressed and turned out, and buys those things, surely you can assume he can probably drink responsibly anyway. But she ID'd me, and the worst thing was, that was embarrassing, and I'd brought my own carrier bag, right, which is the most embarrassing thing. It's impossible to get a carrier bag out of your pocket without it looking like you're about to bend down and pick up a piece of poo off the floor and put it in it.
Oh.
You might as well take your shopping home in a colostomy bag. Utterly
pointless. Oh, good grief. That reminds me of the most incredible story I've ever heard. Can
well,
I relate
better
it?
Be good.
It's about poo.
If it's the best story ever told, I think Jesus will have something to say about it if it is.
No, when they hear this...
to knock him off the top spot.
When they hear this, they're going to have to replace certain passages of the Bible, because this is an incredible story. A friend of mine told it to me, who had been on a gap year, and one night they all got drunk. It was just her and a load of girls.
One night in Devon.
They were in Thailand or somewhere like that. They got drunk, and the question came up, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you? And this girl called Kate related the following story, which is without
doubt. Is Kate her real name? Or
yes, it is her real name.
Okay, fair enough.
If she can... I've spoken to her once... No, I didn't speak to her, but it's been confirmed that this story is true because I needed to know more information. Kate had been at school with this guy for years, and they really, really fancied each other, but they never got it together. They were the couple that should have got together but never did. I don't know what his name was. Let's call him Sebastian.
Okay.
So anyway...
Seb.
So it comes to their sort of leaving ball... And their friends are saying, oh, you've finally got it. You're clearly both in love with each other and have been for years. Why don't you just get together? So they made an agreement that they'd go to the ball together, get really, really drunk, and then see where things went. Now, they get very drunk. They hook up. It's quite the chat of the school. Everyone's really excited. They go back to Seb's place. She's never been there before. And they spend the night together, and it's wonderful. And they're exactly, but it's not just sexy; it's really sweet because they've finally realised
it's lovemaking, John.
They're going to be together forever because they've loved each other from afar. So anyway, Seb pops out for work in the morning and says, "I'll stay as long as you want. And,
have some toast.
We'll meet up tonight. I'm really glad things have worked out. This is going to be great." And they kind of kiss and say goodbye. Seb leaves. Kate now takes the opportunity to go to the toilet.
Right.
She goes,
first thing you do in a new house.
She goes to the toilet and does what can only be described as incredibly large poo. Now, this is embarrassing for a girl. Guys are kind of cool with this, but she panics because it won't flush. Now, at this point, there are a series of options you've got. For reasons unknown to me, she, out of the corner of her eye, spies the bathroom bin and sees it's lined with a plastic bag.
Sensible.
So I can understand her logic. She wants to get this poo as far away as possible from Seb's house because she doesn't want him to find out that
she defecates.
Basically.
She's exactly. Been playing she's a sprite.
So she wants, and I can understand this, she wants to get the poo and put it in a public bin thousands of miles away.
It's
so
a great game.
She fishes out the poo in the bag, right? And and I'm thinking, well, watch, someone walks in and sees her carrying a bag of poo. So she walks out and thinks, right, I've got to get out of here as soon as possible in case someone comes back. So she gathers all her, she puts the poo down, gathers all her stuff together, sees a notepad by the door and just writes on it a little note saying, "Oh, Seb, it's just Kate. I'm so glad we've got together. I'm really looking forward to seeing to you tonight." Puts the note
seeing
down.
Seeing to you.
Puts the note down, walks out the door, and as she hears the door click, she realises she's left a poo in a bag next to a note saying, "I'm so glad we got together," and cannot get access back to the flat. She cannot get in.
Right.
She's just stood outside the door and has left a poo in a bag in a man's house who she loves.
Oh, dear. So the lesson from this story is never sleep with anyone or go to the toilet.
But exactly. Or never do the same, both in the same 12 hours.
Just split those two apart. So if you go to the toilet in the morning, just know you can't sleep with anyone for the rest of the day.
But I forced, when my friend told me that story, I forced her to ring the person and find out what happened because I was quite involved by the love interest because they were destined to be together and they can't have been stopped. That relationship can't have been stopped in its tracks by a poo in a bag. But apparently they never saw each other ever again.
Right.
How could you leave it at that? As if you'd...
To be honest, I think you have to. There's no...
Did you get that? Devastated.
What it was, you know, when you went out to work and you said you want a boil in a bag dinner? I thought you said soil in a bag. It's been a terrible accident. Oh.
Uh-oh. This Uh-oh. Sounds bad. I've got to hear this.
Yeah. Well, you've got to hear this, mate. That poo story, that was told on the Russell Brand story ages ago.
What?
Yeah. I think you might be dealing with an urban legend, mate.
No way.
I think you've been poo duped.
Oh no, I've not come a cropper from a poo in a bag.
You've come.
That's never. I reckon. No. No.
Oh, there's another one.
Because I've heard
there's
it confirmed. Oh
yawn.
No! I've been found out.
This starts with yawn. You know, it doesn't even start with worms. Yawn. Oh. Heard this story before. Rosie Wilby had it in her show at the Edinburgh Festival.
Who's Rosie Wilby? Exactly.
Yeah, she obviously didn't make the best of the story, that's fair enough, but wow, so that's...
Okay, well I apologise if that is a genuine urban myth.
Yeah, well it's a bit late now, mate, but you've wasted people's time.
Oh, well there are probably a lot of people who hadn't heard it, who's...
Kate who came on Scott Mills' show to tell the story
on Radio
1?
Well maybe it's true! Maybe it's the same Kate.
Right, well either way you're covering old ground, mate.
Well no, yeah, but alright, okay, fair enough, I'm covering old ground, but I'm not lying to the general public.
So when you said it was the greatest story ever told, you might as well have told the Bible for the number of people that have heard this story before. You'll never guess this, right? He's dead. Don't worry about it. Comes back. You're joking. Yeah, yeah, he was on Scott Mills the other week doing it.
Alright, sorry, don't text him anymore.
The nicknames thing is sort of yours is morphing. Someone suggests Oxford Johnny.
No, oh, God! No,
oh,
don't!
That's the angry Oxford Johnny. Well, I should very well match you up with one of my hardback books, if you're not careful. You did flip out at uni, didn't you? You caned someone. John,
no, I once...
I mean, you're dealing with... I should have warned the two Adams in the studio. You've got a live wire in here. This man once pinned a man by the neck to a pool table for trying to distract him when he was playing his darts.
Well, no, I want to clear that up, because it's okay to distract people. Basically, the great thing about darts at uni was that you go to a different college each night and play darts, and you're allowed to do whatever you wanted to put them off, apart from getting their line of vision. Obviously, you can't stand in front of them. So people would be screaming everything. It was incredible. You'd have like 40 people packed into a tiny
room. I've heard that story before.
Screaming
rubbish. And a guy I've seen that dart before.
Our arch enemies were Wadham College, and Psycho Bob used to play for
Psycho
Wadham.
Bob.
Psycho
yeah.
Bob.
Psycho Bob at Wadham College, Oxford. You heard it.
Now,
here
you
first.
Never believed this story, nor did
no,
Russell.
No, I don't.
But Psycho Bob, we've had our fallings out in the past. But if you want to text or email in to confirm that we had a scuffle because you wouldn't stop getting in the way of people playing darts, and I, as captain of the St. Anne's team, took it upon myself to try and pin you to a pool table.
Oh, try and pin you. Well, this story is morphing.
Well, his name's
Psycho Bob. In a couple of weeks, it'll be mildly miffed Michael or something.
It was always Psycho Bob.
Right.
Well, though my nickname was Bull, so maybe that.
Your nickname was Bull?
Yeah.
Oh, because you used to kneel down and hit bullseyes, didn't you?
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, we've played a lot of darts. I've never actually seen you do it, so I think that was rubbish.
Just trying to keep you sweet.
John, aren't power showers ungreen / use too much water? You're cocking a snook. That is an amazing term. I used to do some radio work with Henry Kelly, and he cock-snooked me live on air.
Really?
Yeah, live on air. Henry Kelly on BBC Radio Berkshire. He's a lovely guy. I'm cocking a snook, apparently, the rest of humankind. Simon, a bit let down in Bristol. To be honest, Simon, I'm very quick in the power shower. I'd probably use...
Have you?
No, I have not. How dare you? I used to be longer in the old shower because I had to sort of take it off the wall because the pressure was so low and jiggle it all around my body because I have to sort of get underneath my pectoral muscles. Have you had a text there, John?
I have the phone number of the Amy girl who is friends with Kate from the Pooh story here, so we can actually give her a call if you want to confirm
that story's true. All right, well, let's try and get her live on air.
Do it.
Now, Pooh's kicked off.
Has it?
Yeah, it's Pooh everywhere now. Someone said, I loved your bag tale, whether it's true or not. We tried to get through, didn't we, to the girl?
Yeah, I got a text from Karen, who was the person that related the story in the first place, and she gave me Amy's number, who was on the gap year trip, heard the story from Kate, and we've left a message with Amy to try and get her to confirm it.
Mm.
Apparently, she was in More magazine. She solved the story. But this is the actual Kate, so it is true. I'm not lying.
More, cack in a bag. They don't put that on the adverts. I don't think More would publish a story like that. Surely not. Before you explain the meaning of knocked on, I was assuming you meant the plumber had started work. Knocking on being the opposite of knocking off. Maybe.
Both of them sound rude, if we're honest.
When you attack me, I break, and now I think I don't even know what I meant at the time, let alone about music. Hi, John and John. Your story of inadvertently leaving the poo inside the flat reminded me of a similar story I heard, this time involving public transport. There's never defecant on public transport, not any train or plane I've ever been on. A guy... let's call him Richard, that's not his real name. He'd taken the train into town one Saturday, and amongst the stuff he bought was a new pair of jeans. Well done. On the train home, he was overcome with the... Oh, I've heard this story before as well, now I get into it. He was overcome with the urge to use the toilet for a number two, and to his horror, but not his surprise, found there was no paper. He had the bright idea of wiping himself with his old jeans, which he did, and then flung them out of the train window... and put on the new ones he just bought. Imagine his horror when he found out that a mix at the cash desk meant his poly bag contained a denim jacket and not some trousers. But I've heard that's, I think,
I've
that's
heard
an
that
urban
before.
Legend as well. The Oxford thing. People...
Oh, good grief.
I love it when you go camp when you're angry.
But Mark Olver, who's on the show for the first 2 weeks Russell was at, he always used to stitch me up at gigs by mentioning to youthful crowds that I was from Oxford before I went on, and immediately that makes them think, well, I'm not going to like this guy.
They set up a wall which you can knock down, mate. You can break down barriers. You can revolutionise the way we look at Oxford toffs in society now.
With my second-hand stories about defecation.
Yeah, with your stolen stories. Did you even write your dissertation? I bet you didn't. Someone says, my girlfriend went to Oxford. She has a BSc and an MSc. I always beat her at University Challenge, and I went to a scumbag comprehensive and left at 16 with two CSEs.
I went to a comprehensive, but it wasn't a scumbag one.
No.
A good one.
As the stuff you wore, the stuff I know that you wore at high school makes me believe if you went to an even slightly rough school,
men
you would
have scars. With Mohicans, velvet jackets, and purple nail varnish were very in vogue in 1990, 2002.
Another new nickname for you. Good day, John and Posh Yoke.
Oh.
After the explanation of money for old rope, does your colleague who went to a school for the overprivileged?
Oh, that's people make assumptions. That is actually prejudice.
Yeah, but I'm just going to talk over it and pretend that it's true. Do you know where the expression opening a can of worms comes from?
Yeah, because you get those cans with the spring-loaded worms that because they're joke cans of beans, and you open them and the worms jump out.
No, that can't be that.
Why not?
It's not. It's just a metaphor, isn't it? It's implying that when you open the worms, if you open a tin of beans, beans probably aren't going to go anywhere. But if you open a can of worms, the worms spill out and go everywhere. Isn't and thus, so, it's like the circle of influence of the lie that you've told will spread.
I don't think that's from... That's one of those ones. It's not from a specific
Yeah, I don't
thing.
Think
it's
there was ever a
general,
can of worms.
No.
I'm not aware of the parable of the can of worms in the Bible, where Judas opened a can of worms and went, oh, now they're all over the table. I've really learnt a valuable lesson.
Do you know where on the wagon comes from?
Oh, being on the wagon?
When in olden times, and they used to get married, they would leave the church on a wagon. So not drinking, i.e. having a wife, blooming women, would mean you were on the wagon. I don't know what I meant by that.
Right, well, you're listening to dull but factually flawless anecdotes on Six Music, and now it's time, as ever, for the news. We're in our last sort of 15 minutes now, so at 1 o'clock, of course, we hand over to the Music Week, who this week they're talking to Travis and Block Party, and they've got a web sheriff... Who's in charge of, like, stopping people downloading albums and stuff illegally. I'd quite like to be a web sheriff. I just think it's sheriff makes it sound really cool, but let's be honest, the nature of his job is that he probably never leaves the house. So it's like, you know when you meet someone who's in IT and you assume they're, like, fat and they never leave the house? If they started calling themselves, like, IT assassins...
In a sense, you are a web sheriff, though, because there's that spider that's made its web outside your house, which I walked into when I went outside your back door last night. But the spider web is pathetic. It's like the smallest spider
web I've ever
seen.
You haven't seen the spider. It's a carbon-friendly spider. It's massive, but it only lives in a small pad because it lives on its own.
Like
and the spider
man.
Is massive. And they've started coming in the front door as well, spidey-widers. So we'll just wrap a few things up in the last room. Hopefully you're going to get back hold of Russell Howard. We've tried confirming the Poona Bag story. That's still on voicemail, which only confirms to me that the story is all a tissue of lies, a soiled tissue of lies. Yes, worms. Hi, John and John. It's probably a bit late now. Don't worry about that. It's just 3 hours of fluid radio. That's what we're doing. When I was younger, I used to think this is a Was I Normal. I was the only one in the world who finally knew how to kill Captain Scarlet. And how would I do this devious act? With a chainsaw, of course. Again, signs of probably quite a troubled childhood. We're getting a few good deeds gone bad, so we'll wrap those up before 1 o'clock as well. And now we've had this text in about the origin of a can of worms. I'm not going to go into it. If you've heard the myth, it's to do with World War One and what the can of worms was used for. Absolute, complete lie.
I think it's true, but I'd be willing to let it be known as a lie, just it kind of in memory of the dead.
Oh, and someone's disputing your I'm on the wagon. In the days of yore, when someone was about to be executed and driven to Tyburn Gallows, the wagon would stop at an inn for them to be served a final drink. The driver of the wagon would decline the offer, however, with the phrase, I'm on the wagon.
That's not true.
Well,
it may be true.
Tell it to Spike M.
Well, there was a programme on Channel 4 about the meanings of phrases, and the wedding one, the wagon thing, was on that, so I believe that.
I saw a cracking beer glass this week from olden days. It was round on the bottom, it was spherical on the bottom, so that it was for coach drivers. This was in the days when you could drink and drive. It was on fat men on bikes, and it was round, so they would take it into the pub to get it filled up, but because it was round, they couldn't put it down and stay, so they had to take it back and put it on a little plinth inside their truck.
Well, you know why they started using glass-bottomed tankards and glasses altogether to stop you getting conscripted for the Navy. Because if you take the Queen's shilling, the Queen's money, whatever it was, there's a phrase there to accept the Queen's shilling, you would then be a member of the Navy. So they used to get people drunk on gin, pop a coin into the pint while they weren't looking, and then them drinking that was kind of a contract.
I wouldn't... that's in a film, isn't it? I wouldn't drink a drink if someone had popped a coin in it. Everyone should leave John alone about going to Oxford.
Thank you.
I'm not attacking him. I think it's great that he went to Oxford. I went to Oxford.
Ooh, you should have gone,
mate. But I just, you know, I wish you'd take the opportunity to further the image of Oxford students, you know.
Why? There's no such... I just don't want to get into this. They're all very, very normal people. Honestly, some of the thickest people I've ever met were at Oxford.
Right. Do you want to name any names?
No,
you probably shouldn't do. I got a scholarship to a private public school in Edinburgh and I'm constantly having to defend myself. I only met real posh people when I started at university where there were pashminas aplenty.
Oh, yeah.
Katie, kiss, not for you, John, for the other John. He's got a girlfriend, so if you want to cheat on his girlfriend live on air...
Who said that?
Your harlot.
Who gave the
Look at you asking for the email address. You've
I'm
got
not
a girlfriend.
For it. She can join me on my MySpace page.
Oh, pathetic. I knew you'd mention it. I knew. 12:50. We've got 10 minutes left. We're wrapping up stuff, knew. He hasn't done a story that contains the word MySpace. I thought it's only a matter of, are we going to go out and get some MySpace after? I mean, food after this. Oh, God.
I didn't say MySpace.com/John Robbins.
Oh, that's pathetic. That's absolutely pathetic.
You're pathetic.
I'm not pathetic. Oh, God, that's everything that's wrong with MySpace there, isn't it?
Oh, you like love me, like it. Me. You absolutely love it. Ringing me up all hours of the night going, oh, I can't get comedians' MySpace page. I can't. They won't convert my page to a comedian. How will people know where
that's
I am?
Because I treat it as a website and not a place for me to pretend I'm more popular. See, unbelievable. I can't believe you. Are you on Facebook? Do you want to mention that as
no,
well?
No, because, and I'd like to say this, if you're out there wanting to join me on Facebook, I use Facebook for my friends. I don't want comedy folk or people I don't know on there because it's just annoying.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know the story behind the expression rule of thumb, John?
Is it the fact that the average thumb is, say, 2 inches long and people would go, well, they'd measure things out with their thumbs?
No. Apparently, it used to be legal to beat your wife with a stick.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it was no thicker than your thumb.
Good rule.
Hence, rule to thumb. Well, I think we should probably get rid of that phrase, shouldn't we? Rule of thumb.
Well, no.
Should we start a petition to outlaw the phrase rule of thumb?
No, the petition to outlaw hitting your wife would probably be better.
I think that's already happened,
yeah,
John. I don't want to bring you
it.
Dragging into the 21st century. Check out myspace.com/ it's now illegal to beat your wife and sign up as their friend and you can all get together and have pretend parties where you pretend you've got... So we're into the last few minutes now, John. And this is your last few minutes as my guest.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's
it's been
right.
Fun, though. We've had some laughs, haven't we?
We haven't half, John.
Oh, what a podcast we would have if only we had a podcast.
Oh, get back in the... Yeah. I don't know, whatever you are in.
Look at myspace.com/ John Ritson should have a podcast. No H. There isn't one, so don't look at that. So we'll do a few good deeds gone bad since we've emailed it. I quite like it as a feature. People emailed them in. We'll just read this one. A few weeks ago, I stopped on the way home from work. This is from Carl. To put petrol in my car. We've all been there, Carl.
Oh, we have.
I'll call you up on last week telling me there were no services as well, John, in the A419 when there's a service station at Cirencester, which I saw last night. You liar. Having filled up and paid, I was about to leave when a lady in a car... another pump, I think he means petrol pump, asked if I could help her as she was disabled and couldn't get out of the car. She asked me to take the petrol cap off and said that the guy in the petrol station knew her and would come out and put the petrol in. There were a few other cars getting petrol, so I thought it'd be kind of a nice gesture to fill her car up for her and go and pay with her money, though. I'm not that kind. I filled up, paid, gave the lady her change and got back in my car and drove off. 5 minutes down the road, realised I'd not put the petrol cap back on her car. I didn't go back to the petrol station, but I'm sure she got her petrol cap back and all her petrol didn't spill out as she drove off. That's what I keep telling myself anyway. Well, it's important to just live in denial, if nothing else. That's negligence, really, isn't it? I would get very angry about that. Good deeds that have backfired. This is the lady who tried to save the mouse. She sets it in twice, so she's obviously quite upset. Tracy tried to clean the blood off the mouse, but ended up drowning it in a cup of water while trying to clean the cup.
You've done that one?
Yeah, well, it's a separate text. She's texted it in twice. Even though I read it, she still doesn't feel...
So why did you read it again?
Because it's relevant to the piece. Don't make your last 2 minutes on radio be tense, mate, because that will end you.
Hooray! Glad you read that out a second time. I'd forgotten the first one.
Yeah, damn right. Next week, I'm joined by Michael McIntyre, who is one of the funniest men.
Very good.
He's fantastic. He's very pleasant company, so join me for that. It's going to be...
He's in love with you as well, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
I chatted to him backstage at the store. That's the comedy store. And he said he loves you.
Oh, name dropping. MySpace.com/comedy store. John and MySpace John. Last year I was working in a zoo as a bird keeper. One day a little old lady came up to me with a red pheasant. Wow. It's an everyday occurrence, isn't it?
See this?
Red pheasant, that.
I thought you were laughing because you thought it might be a euphemism.
Oh, right, no, but you were. she said she'd looked after it for about 8 years.
I got a red pheasant.
I'm lonely now. If I get to a point where I'm looking after a red pheasant for 8 years.
Oh, you'd be lucky.
He loves them adverts on the telly for the whiskey. She was getting on and said she can't cope with it anymore. Oof, that's depressing. She might have meant that on several levels. So I said I'd take him and look after it. I put him in a barn until I fixed the outdoor pen. But unknown to me, my colleague had seen the bird in the barn and thought to put it outside. The next day, this 8-year-old pheasant had been killed by a fox. Luckily, I wasn't at the zoo to tell the old lady what had happened when she visited a year later. Well, we've perhaps in error ended on a pessimistic dead pheasant.
It's all right, because last week we ended on people shouldn't be allowed to have children.
Oh, yeah,
so
we did.
So it's a step up from your kind of eugenics rant.
And I noticed in the paper that people have still had kids this week, so we'll be continuing that petition until everybody in the world is sterile. And then I'll probably look and go, oh, yeah, because we're all... Oh, sorry about that. But it'll be too late then. Mm. And then I'll wrap up, be a one good deed gone bad, and that'll be the end of the show and all our lives. So thank you, John. It's been a pleasure over the last 2 weeks. I'm going to be with Michael McAtee. We didn't get hold of Russell Howard. I can only apologise for that. But thanks for all your texts and emails. It's been a very nice show. And I'll see you again next week. Coming up, it's the Music Week. I'll leave you with Soul to Soul.
Bye-bye. BBC Six Music.